The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Mara Livesey.
Hello.
Hello, Mara. How are you?
I am good. I'm ready for a weekend of grading.
I can't wait.
You party animal, you.
Have you given an exam yet?
No. First one is next Friday.
Okay, so what are you grading? What am I missing?
Homeworks. Oh, I give them challenge homeworks that look like questions that they'll see on the exam.
Okay.
So they're not too scared.
And you, I stand by this. I'm sure that I'm wrong in some way, but I just don't know how many 4,000-level courses at the university are enrolled to almost 100 people. That's incredible. That's very, very high.
How many people?
So, 90, about, right?
Yeah, about 90. Yeah.
Man, that's like a small minor league ball club.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
and
is.
I have to grade each and every one of them.
Professor Dan Maggio is here, and he has a quizzical look on his face.
So, it's indigestion. And unfortunately, we have the president of the union here. So, when you have 90 students, and then you're having lunch with a person that has, like, 10 students, is there extra compensation available?
No, there's not.
Not to my knowledge.
Is there an appeal?
There is a way that you can put a ceiling on how many. I mean, how about this? There definitely is a size of a classroom, too, because you have one giganto section and then one kind of piddly section. So,
don't worry too much about me. I have plans to deal with this in the future.
She's got minions.
And she, like, straps on a ninja mask.
She's going to have her lawn cut every week.
Oh, my gosh.
I, too, am looking forward to a peaceful weekend.
Oh, okay. Which will include...
not grading papers.
Oh, yeah, well, that sounds great.
Relaxing. Probably doing some work, actually.
Oh.
Some catch-up work to do.
Okay. It doesn't feel bad to work on the weekend if you're catching up a little bit. Very American attitude. Sorry, folks.
And Canadian attitude, too.
Oh, really?
Except on Sundays.
Oh, okay. And boxed milk. Across the table from me. Milk in a bag. Sorry.
Hey, thank you.
Sorry.
That's not my name, though.
Across the table from me, Professor Stephanie Conant is here from the Department of Biology.
Hello.
You, I see, are in the Jim Tubbs position of I have to stare through the microphone cables to be able to see.
Right.
So
be called milk in a bag.
Yeah.
I mean, box milk. Yeah. What is it?
Box milk. So we've already heard from our ringer Canadian trivia person, Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. How goes things in Berkeley, Michigan?
So far, so good. My grass is getting taller.
Yes, it is.
I haven't cut it in about a week and a half. So I'm waiting for the goats to come by and graze or half of my students to come by and cut the lawn for extra credit. So.
Oh, my gosh. What about the authorities coming by to issue you a citation for how high your grass is?
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Doesn't Berkeley have a rat problem?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
It's not pleasant. I just saw some interesting science stuff on the internet this morning about, apparently, speaking of rat problems, New Zealand. Check it out.
It was someplace where they were putting, was it mothballs? Mothballs in the holes and then covering the holes, and apparently carbon dioxide is released and it kills them.
Yeah.
Naphthalene.
Is it New York
yes.
City? Yeah, yes. I think it was New York City.
Sense.
Do that for groundhogs, too.
Mm. Oh. Whistle pigs.
Wow. Whistle pigs. Yeah. All right.
So with our resident pest control call-in show advice, it's Professor Stephen Manigan.
I know a little bit about a lot of things.
All right. There's nothing wrong with that. What do they call it? A polymath. You're great.
Renaissance man.
Yeah, the Renaissance man. But mothballs. I mean, I got to be straight with you. Mothballs are one of those classics where some people actually enjoy, like gasoline, you know, the smell. Oh, and some people are like, oh, it's totally offensive.
Yep.
It doesn't bother me that much. What does that say about me?
If you were a rat, it
probably
depends on if you are stuck in a hole covered by mothballs or not. I'm gonna guess.
Probably means you're an organic chemist and just used to it.
Yeah, that's also true.
Matt the rat.
What's in a mothball?
Naphthalene is actually what it is, but it's very pungent. It's extremely poisonous, and it'll get in your lungs and mess you up if you're a mammal. So. Yeah.
Oh, oops.
That's an episode on House, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, someone tried to poison someone?
Do termites give off
naphthalene? I don't know.
Getting the right term? There's an episode where the termite infestation in the house, the termites gave off enough of that it reached a critical level and then made the people sick and killed the cat.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
I will check. off the show on my phone, which I'm not allowed to do during the show.
All I'm going to say is that I grew up very luckily with all four of my GI generation grandparents, and they lived and died by mothballs. That all of their drawers were full of mothballs. I mean, they lived through a world where bugs were eating their clothes constantly.
You guys
constantly. Were
lucky, you know, that you guys grew up with mothballs. My family, believe it or not, they grew up with firecrackers. They put firecrackers in with their clothes.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
No. Firecrackers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can also put that down a groundhog hole.
Also.
And a lot more festive, too.
Yeah.
But what is it in firecrackers then?
Oh, I mean, the breakdown product from the gunpowder, I'm assuming, is good enough, you know, black powder.
Crazy.
They didn't light them.
Oh, yeah.
They just put them in there, right? Oh,
well, I think it was their way of smuggling them over here to America. That's all.
Now, Professor Heather Hill from the Department of English.
Uh-oh.
You've said you've done the mothball trick for your
infestation? It doesn't always work.
Okay, but you've done it before.
Yeah.
Okay. Cover up the hole, or maybe you kind of gas them, basically.
Yeah, you can also throw a smoke bomb down there, but you have to make sure you find both ends of the hole.
Good call. Holes. Yeah. Well, the smoke bomb will help you find it.
Well, yeah, but essentially you asphyxiate them. They're evil.
No, I get it. I just, they're you awful. Know, I don't think like that.
So why does Berkeley have such a big rat problem as I change the subject?
I don't know.
We can only blame so much on the restaurant. At the
it wasn't Berkeley, right? It's not just Berkeley. It's Royal Oak and Ferndale. Ferndale had a huge problem.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's the restaurants, I think, just because...
Well, you know, we have an issue dumpsters. With citizens not paying attention to the piles of things in their backyard where nests are worn out. And
And people with bird feeders not.
But why
maintained.
More than any other?
That is a good question. I don't know.
Is this a correlation or a.
I heard something along the lines of that it's the trash removal.
Mm.
You know, they just pick them up and dump them wherever. So the rats just kind of hitch on board, and next thing you know, they end up here. And then
hitchhiking rats?
Yeah.
That's how they got to New Zealand. That's what I learned in the video.
Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. I just
there are no small mammals native to New Zealand. They came over on boats. Mm-hmm. So
Hitchhikers.
Hitchhikers, yeah.
The leader
right.
there.
Oh.
I tell you what, this is prime for transition here. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since a hardcore rat trivia thing came across my desk. If you stump our panel, you win a prize. And if you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. If you can send the questions to us in a number of ways, you can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Find us on Facebook or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okay, we've got some questions here from a student of Professor Jason Roach. His name is Benjamin Bustamante, and he wrote us some all-over-the-map trivia questions. On what date did Kurt Cobain take his own life?
Ooh. Recently. In
98.
No, 98?
No, what date?
What date?
Well, I'm starting with the year.
Yeah.
And then it will help me get to
but
the
it was
date.
January 7th.
It was not January 7th. No.
March 25th.
Closer, but not.
No. February 24th.
No.
April 13th.
It was April 5th. Yeah. Can you figure out what year?
Well, that's what I asked.
Seven or eight.
Isn't February 24th closer than April
15th? Wasn't it just his 20th? Was it 1999?
No, it was not 99. It was earlier than 99.
Yeah. 95.
92.
This was at the end of my second semester as a freshman at University of Detroit Mercy. Does that help?
This would have been like 89?
No.
No, it says 1994.
Was it 94? That early?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were that late? Oh.
That was right after they dropped their second album. That sticks out in a
look at
lot
you
of
with the
minds.
Lingo. Right after they dropped their second album.
Wow.
Named?
What was the... I'm thinking...
It's not Bleach. It was whatever it was.
No.
Nevermind?
In Utero, I think, is the one in I'm Utero? Thinking of. It was right Mind after that. Maybe I'm wrong. Whatever. All I remember is that Smells Like Teen Spirit came out my senior year.
Oh, by the way, Matt, did you see that video I sent to Jim Tubbs a couple weeks ago?
About?
The ukulele orchestra Great Britain doing... Well, they did Shaft, but they also did Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit, too. Played on ukuleles.
I love it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, check out our Facebook feed. You'll see what you need to see.
No, I'll have to post it. So.
Okay. Two people in the series of so far 8, soon to be 9 Star Wars movies have played a character whose first name was Ben. Who was the first?
Oh, Alec Guinness.
Alec Guinness. Now, who plays Ben in the more recent trilogy?
Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor.
No, it's Ben. It's the terrible bad guy.
Terrible bad guy. Not Liam Neeson.
He's a terrible character.
No.
He's not a good actor.
Oh.
Hopefully he didn't write these questions.
I know who you're talking about.
His initials are AD instead of AG.
Adam Driver.
Adam Driver.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Oh, is that?
No. He does not play Ben.
No.
He's named after Ben.
Ben, I'm sorry, Ben Solo. Two people named Ben in the series. Oh, yeah. So Ben Kenobi and Ben Solo, aka Kylo Ren.
He's not a very convincing evil character.
Matt the Radar Technician is what I was actually going
for. I like him a lot, but mostly because I saw him in a show before I saw him in Star Wars.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute.
He does have a really funny, well, not him, but the Twitter feed. What is it?
Oh, emo Kylo Ren.
Wait a minute. That's what I'm thinking of.
So technically, isn't there three Bens then?
Yeah, I suppose, except for Ewan McGregor was older Kenobi and he was never called Ben.
Right.
So that's
okay.
Stretching the
yes, Dave,
the
we'll give you credit.
All right, my Star Wars geekiness is showing, I'm sorry.
On what date did World War I begin?
Oh, it was the killing of Franz Ferdinand, right?
Yes.
From
1914.
1914
was the date.
November? Was it November?
April.
Was it April something?
No. It was summertime in the Northern Hemisphere.
I will let you all guess.
July?
August. It was July.
July 14th.
24th.
July 28th.
That was close. 14th.
So as many darts as we can at the dartboard. I love it. That's well,
you might just say 14 times 2.
You were getting to it.
You were getting there. In the TV series The Office, what does the company Dunder Mifflin sell?
Paper.
I love that.
Who doesn't know that?
What date did World War I begin?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Okay. Yeah, great.
Sometimes it's just the way it goes.
We're professors, but, you know, not that kind of professor.
That's right. Who wrote the novel Cry, the Beloved Country?
Alan Patton
was the writer of that book. That's exactly correct. Didn't even think about that, Stephen.
Wow. Awesome. Where's the English person here?
Oh, I thought somebody that was talked
wow,
over
what's
me.
Going on here?
Well, if Beth were here, she'd be able to tell us who the drummer in the Beatles was before Ringo Starr.
Pete Best
was his name. Pete Best. Ooh, that's right. These are really all over the joint.
It's good. I like them.
Yeah. In what year did Wikipedia start? I know we've had this before, but it's tricky. This is a tricky question.
2002.
I feel like giving it to you based on my error bars. It's 2001.
Okay.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Wikipedia began in what
Wikipedia.
Year?
I thought you said PBS. I was like, what?
I was having a conversation about that. This generation, nobody knows who Funkin' Wagnalls is.
As in the dictionary?
No, the encyclopedia.
The orange encyclopia.
Yeah. How many people know what Funkin' Wagnalls are?
Well, my mother still has ours.
I'm sure.
In the bookcase. Mm-hmm. They're back from the 80s?
The
70s. Late 70s, early 70s, 80s. Yeah. Just call them
80s. You're talking about the orange encyclopedia. There's a set of orange encyclopedias. Yeah. We have those.
Yeah. That was actually it was a running joke in the Mayo family because we only had one of the volumes. And it was Damn, D-A-M-N, through Eckhart. And whenever we actually could look something up, my dad would look at us and go, Damn Eckhart. And then we'd go and we'd grab it. It's a long story. But that's the end of it.
So all your reports for school were limited from the
choice of information.
Pre-internet.
The teacher probably wondered, why do you keep putting in reports with
why do you keep doing all
he's studying things. Dwight Eisenhower again.
You used to buy them at the grocery store.
Oh,
you know, bought one for
that's
free.
We got
and then
it.
Every
yes.
week there was a new one for like $2.99. That's how a lot of people
which was a steal.
Collected them. So,
That's funny.
How many... How many dice are used in the Yahtzee game?
Five.
Again, everybody knows right off the top of their head. I don't know if I've ever played Yahtzee before. I've got to be straight.
Yahtzee.
Yes. It's fun
game.
To say. But,
it's a fun game.
Which actor plays Captain America in the Marvel Cinematic
Chris
Universe?
Chris Evans.
Yes. I don't know if I can say what I want to say from the movie this summer on the air, but I don't want to.
Oh, I was
going to
say, you want to talk about the TV movie too? Yeah.
What TV movie?
There's a TV movie back in the late 70s. Was it Reb Stewart played him?
I'm sorry, that's right. And his mighty shield, I forgot.
And
about
do
that.
You remember he had that clear helmet and the clear shield, which was god awful?
Yep. We're going to go back into our 70s archives while we take a break. Mm-hmm. And we're back. The only bad news is we're not starting a road trip exactly right now with the Dubes pumping in the background.
Perfect. We get the Winnebago.
I literally just got off of a Doobie Brothers kick, so I'm happy. That's it. That's all I need for the rest of the month. Okay, what actor played James Bond in the more recent James Bond movie, Casino Royale?
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, see, I think he has one more. They just announced it.
They're filming in Jamaica. Yes, he wears a khaki suit.
Yes.
That's a lot of random details.
That's his understudy, apparently.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Khaki suit with suspenders. No belt suspenders.
Clown. Wow. As you should be.
In one scene. Anyway.
As you should
apparently
be.
Apparently, Steven is a Daniel Craig groupie.
Yeah. Well,
hey, my wife would throw me to the curb for him, so I mean.
Yeah, I actually really liked him as James Bond. I thought he did a really good job.
Me too. This is apparently his last one.
Yeah, this will be it, though.
So I wonder what. Do you know anything about the storyline? Because the last couple have all been sort of tied together. It culminated in the last one.
He's no longer an agent.
Okay.
Yeah. I do know that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is helping to write it.
Oh.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who did Killing Eve and Fleabag. Yeah. She's helping to write it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Great questions, Benjamin. Thanks for sending them in. Good luck in classes this semester.
We'll move on to something slightly different.
Give Jason lots of trouble.
Yep, give Jason trouble. What can I say? Dear professors, here is a list of questions. All 20 are within a topic of architecture. Nice. Have fun. Sincerely, Kione Atuzan from Troy, Michigan. So sorry about the mispronunciation. That's likely. Let's see what we can do with these. Where or what is the largest unreinforced concrete dome in the world?
Dome.
Concrete dome.
Toronto?
It's not.
Rome?
It's not. I mean, ish. Oh, it's just, in Rome, it's but where? What is it? What is the building name?
The Vatican? The
Basilica.
Coliseum?
I would have said it's that too, but it's actually from the ancient world.
Coliseum.
Mm-mm.
No.
No roof on the
dome.
It's a dome.
Yep. It says here it's the Pantheon. Lasted all these thousands of years. Very interesting. Oh, and much appreciated, again, Kione, for all of the citations. We want to make absolute sure that our crack team of researchers get back and find where all the things we got wrong are. What are the three classical orders of architecture from ancient Greece? Sometimes seen in the pillars.
Corinthian, Doric,
and Ionic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
I was going to say Molary and Curly, but I knew that wasn't it.
Did you say IHOP?
IHOP. Corinthian, leather, IHOP, Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity, and Doric the Explorer. Partial credit. Okay.
Well that works.
For what purpose, apparently, were the pyramids of Giza built?
Burial.
Burial. Tombs.
Yeah, absolutely. Tombs for the country's pharaohs and their consorts. It's a really big building for kind of needing a space about this big to put a sarcophagus.
Well, they bring all their possessions with them. And soldiers.
It's kind of like U-Haul. You know, like...
For the afterlife, right?
That is exactly right. Absolutely. What style of architecture is represented by St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City?
Classy.
Classy. I gotta give you partial
classical
credit for that. Oh my gosh,
what is it?
Well, it's in a certain, I mean, the Vatican is in a certain country. That's Vatican City, but that country is in
Roman classic
Italy, so it's an
Italian Renaissance
is what it is. Yes,
I think Greco-Roman is close enough.
Yeah.
You think it's close to
that? Is that a wrestling style, too?
You're giving me heck today. What's that?
I know I am.
Yes, is this a wrestling style, too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
What?
They apparently wrestle, too, there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Cool.
See, like I said, I was right. Classy.
All right.
What style of architecture was represented by rivals Bernini and Borromini? Your hint is that their first letter is the same first letter as the style of architecture.
Baroque.
If it ain't Baroque.
You know, I always say, if it ain't Baroque, don't fix it. Yes, very nice. What is the difference between a Gothic arch and a non-Gothic arch?
The flying buttress.
One of those perched gargoyles.
makes sense to me. So a Gothic arch, it says here, has something that a regular or normal arch does not.
A keystone?
A point.
A point. Yeah, it is a point. Yeah,
I was going to say spire. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is that a corner point, or would that be a left angle?
That's a stem.
Oh, my gosh.
Like on the maple leaf?
I might get slapped by the end of the show. I don't know.
Who designed the Guggenheim Museum of New York City?
Gary? Gary?
No.
I have no idea.
I'm surprised.
The Guggenheim?
Oh,
No, the Empire.
No.
Gary, not Gary.
Yeah, it was Frank Lloyd
Wright.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Sort of the go-to.
I'm picturing it right now.
I figured everybody else was going to say it. So.
Yeah, Frank Lloyd Wright. Very interesting. The Empire State Building is an example of what kind of architecture?
Neoclassic?
That's not what it says here. Art Deco is what it says. Yeah. Everybody knows Detroit, Michigan is one of the Art Deco meccas for all the people who
it
like
is.
Architecture. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What is currently in 2019 the tallest building in the United States?
The Willis Tower?
Mm-mm. That would have been my guess, too. We had a bunch of questions on our last show about Empire State. Not the Freedom Tower.
Sears Tower, no.
No, it's Willis now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. No ideas, huh?
Hold on.
In the United States.
What city is it?
This was done on purpose. Does that help? So to make it the tallest building in the world.
It's the Freedom
Tower. I'm sorry, in the U.S., my bad.
City?
I mean, they don't call it the Freedom Tower anymore. It's called...
I don't know what it's called
anymore. Oh, okay.
World Trade Center 1?
Is it the same tower?
One World Trade Center.
Okay.
Something like one.
Okay.
Yes. What innovation did the Chicago School promote in technology and building construction?
Cables.
You're not too far off. The Chicago School trained a lot of architects and engineers that decided we were going to make buildings like this from now on.
What, like with steel?
Steel cables? Steel frame construction. Mm-hmm. I was really shocked the other day after having a dinner with my family. You know, I have a 16-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and their complete lack of knowledge about September 11th just was shocking to me. I don't know. I don't expect it to be taught in school, you know, like a regular subject. But I'm like, do you know about this? And they're like, no. Like, they had no idea. So I'm like, do you know what happened on that day? Something bad. I'm like, yeah, that's true. A little more depth, you know. Who designed Lafayette Park in Detroit, Michigan?
Not Kahn.
You're almost there.
Well, who are you thinking?
Van der Rohe.
Van der Rohe, yeah. Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah. Nice.
Well, he designed the building, Mies.
Mies is his first name, yep.
But he designed the apartment buildings near the park as well, on Lafayette.
That's right. In the vein of continuing with positive questions, which neighborhood in Detroit was completely torn down to generate Lafayette Park? In conjunction with 375, if I remember correctly.
Black Bottom was what it was called.
Yes, the highest at that time concentration of African Americans in the city, proving once again that institutions can do great damage when given lots of money and resources.
Soon to say goodbye to Del Rey.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. In what city is the Hagia Sophia?
Istanbul.
Yes. Whoa, everything okay?
Yes, I jumped.
Just making sure. It's shocking. Istanbul. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
I call it Constantinople.
I'm calling ignorance on this one. I have not heard of this before, even though I know it's in the city. What is the La Sagrada Familia?
Oh, yeah. Barcelona.
In what city? In Barcelona. But what is it?
Oh, it's that beautiful church.
It's a church.
You would recognize it probably by photos. It has lots of spires coming out of it.
Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, okay. In what city is the Space Needle?
Seattle.
Yay. Seattle, Washington. We're taking a tour of architecture here. What city is Falling Water in?
Outside of Pittsburgh.
It's outside of Pittsburgh, but do you know what the name of it is?
It's kind of north, east of Pittsburgh.
Yep. It says Mill Run.
Sure.
That's what it says. Falling Water.
I think with your flexibility,
right,
we should have got credit for Pittsburgh.
Oh, jeez.
Don't you think, Heather?
The time has come for our discussion of ATP favorites. We had talked about this before the show, and I think that what we settled on was countries to visit or countries you want to visit. Was that what it was going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sure.
I was just trying to remember.
Yes.
So countries of some kind. Who wants to start us off? Maybe a place you want to go to and a place that you have been to?
All right, I'll start.
Go, Dan.
Places that I've been to that I want to go back, Scotland for sure. Places I haven't been to that I want to go to. Italy.
Italy.
Sicily in particular. Which is
see the family?
Well, anybody that would recognize me, sure.
Hey, that's Dan Maggio from Ask the Professor. Yes.
I can go. Places that I've been that I'd love to go back to. You said Scotland. I agree, but I'll also say Macedonia since I lived there for a year. It's just gorgeous. And then I'd always like to go to New Zealand because Lord of the Rings is filmed there. Mm-hmm. And the rats. I just,
and the rats.
I love rats. And the mountains and the views. The rats.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'll follow up. Place I want to go back to. I want to go back to Canmore, Alberta. Trust me, it's gorgeous. And the place I want to go to is New Zealand because I was supposed to be there for my 30th birthday to go snowboarding, and I never did. Mm. So I want to go back.
What got in the way?
My brother decided to get married. Oh, I was literally talking to the travel agent, booking my snowboard trip, and hey, we're getting engaged. We're going to get married. I guess I better hang up this phone call. So
that's kind
so
of
New
sad.
Zealand for my 30th was, yeah, I plan to be on top of Mount Cook snowboarding down for my 30th, and that never happened, so.
Maybe you can do it for your 40th.
Sure. I'll still go. It doesn't matter. I'll go New Zealand in a heartbeat. So.
Right.
Anybody else? Come on.
Steven, Heather, Stephanie.
I haven't been to any places, shockingly. So
well, Mount Clemens doesn't count?
No. Oh. I've been to like Mexico and Toronto and that, but I don't know that I need to go back there. I'd go anywhere new. I was supposed to go to Ireland and Scotland right after I graduated college, and then that didn't happen. I went to grad school instead.
Oh.
Still would like to go back there. But.
Well, I'd go back to Portugal in a minute.
That sounds fun.
Just went over the summer. There are so many other places I'd love to go to. I mean, I think I'd love to go to Greece. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been to Italy, Greece. I'll say Greece, the Mediterranean, Maybe some Slavic countries. Mm-hmm. There are apparently some really gorgeous beaches that are under-vacationed.
Unvacationed, okay.
Unvacationed,
yes. Under-vacationed. Under-vacationed. I just made up a word.
There are.
You're an English professor. You're allowed.
We're running a little low on time, so Stephen, if you'd like to chime in on this one.
A place to go back to may be Tanzania, where I was this summer, and I'd go to different parts of it, but Zanzibar especially, which I didn't get to this time, but I'd go back there.
Stephen climbed Mount Kilimanjaro this summer.
Really?
I'm not doing that again. I wouldn't go back to do that again. That was a once-in-a-lifetime.
Wow.
Death-defying.
Amazing, I think.
Very cool.
Frightening.
Very cool.
Scary thing to do.
You can't drop that and not explain. Because I have 1,000 questions now.
I'm afraid they're going to have to wait for another show because the time has come for us to say goodbye, Heather.
Adios.
Stephen.
Have a good weekend.
Dave.
See ya.
Stephanie.
Bye.
Dan.
Bye.
Mara.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Maya.